Wonder, could we turn for a scripture reading to the first Psalm, please? The Psalm 1, and reading from verse 1 of the Psalm. Psalm 1, and reading from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word afresh. Let's unite in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of gathering around thy word afresh. We thank thee for the instruction that it gives. We thank thee for the blessing, the happiness that is given to those who follow the precepts of thy word. We pray, our God, that we might know the fullness of that joy today as we contemplate thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Prosperity is something that is desired by nearly everyone, if not everyone. Real success is wished for by all, but is experienced by few. Unfortunately, there are few that really make good as far as it is usually thought. Many people strive and work all their lives, and they see very little of prosperity and real success. But I want to tell you today how you can have real success, how you can really make good in the highest and the truest sense, how you can enjoy life to the full. And it is by taking heed to what God says in his precious word. You know, there's a law in nature and a law in the scriptures, the law of sowing and reaping. And it is one that is inevitable. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it is a law that holds good today as much as it did in any day. How can you have real success, real prosperity? Well, I want you to see that the first word of this psalm is the word blessed. Blessed. It means happy. It's a very expressive word in the original. It actually means a multiplicity of blessing. Oh, the happinesses of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It speaks of a very state of blessedness. And there are three things that a man needs to refrain from, or a woman needs to refrain from, if they're going to have this blessedness. And there are two things that they need to engage in. Now, I'm sure that we want God's blessing. It's not just prosperity that we need. You know, there are those that preach a prosperity gospel, and they say, well, God's people should have much of material prosperity, and they should have much of this world's good. Well, the Bible never promises that. But what it does promise is a real deep down joy, a joy that is in Christ. And we want God to bless our homes, and we want God to bless our families, and we want God to bless our church, and we want God to bless each one of us. How can we know the fullness of the real blessing that God has? Well, I want you to see the route that God has set down in the opening of this psalm, in the three don'ts and the two do's. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's the three do's. And then you have the two do's. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want us to see the route to real prosperity and real blessing, God's blessing, that is outlined in this psalm before us. And the first thing I want you to see is the pronouncement that is made. He speaks of the godly and the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And you'll see there are those who are spoken of there who are ungodly. And these people are people, obviously, who do not know this blessing that is spoken of in the Word of God. And we read in the Bible about the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Well, they are those people who live apart from God, who live their lives as if God did not exist, who do not conform to the precepts of God's precious Word. And we know that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There's none righteous, no, not one. So the ungodly in this text are those who do not know this real blessing. You've got to come to Christ, first of all, to know the real blessing. You see, you will not find happiness in seeking for happiness. You will not find prosperity in seeking for prosperity. You will find happiness in seeking for God, in coming to God, in meditating upon His Word. There are many people who are looking for success and for prosperity in this life, and that is their goal, and they never find it because they're looking in the wrong place. They're going in the wrong direction. Real happiness is an offshoot of finding God. Have you found God in your life? Has God been enthroned in the throne room of your heart and in the throne room of your life? Has there been a time when you've confessed your sins and sought for God to take those sins away? And are you one of God's children? You've got to start on the road to blessedness. And thank God, it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people think that sin will bring them happiness. And the Bible does speak about the pleasures of sin. But it also says that the pleasures of sin are for a season. They only last a little while. And then it's all gone. And then comes the guilt. And then comes the unhappiness and the unrest. And all these things that come in as a result of sin. You will not find happiness in a life of sin. All you'll find is guilt. And all you'll find is inadequacy. And all you'll find is unhappiness at the end of the day. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody here, and you know that you're unhappy. Where will you find happiness? You'll find it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never been saved. Come to His feet. Maybe you're a Christian. You've wandered away. Come to His feet. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we notice the pronouncement that is made. The blessed man is the man who's a godly man. Notice also the prohibitions enjoined. We said there are three things here in the first verse that we should look at and should not do if we're going to walk in a life of blessedness. And the first thing that we can't do is walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word ungodly is not confined to the drunkard in the street, nor to the immoral person. It includes them. But as we said, it is every person who does not regard God in their life. It is the unregenerate man and woman. Now, we're not to take their counsel. We're not to walk according to their dictates. There are fashions in the world, and there are fashions in regard to clothing, but there are fashions in regard to ideas and philosophies, and we have it pumped out to us on the television, and we have it pumped out to us in the media, and we have all these fashions that come, and they tell us this is the way that you should live your life, and this is what you should do, and this is what you should not do. Well, it is a very foolish person that goes by those dictates and by those fashions. Because the next year they find out that these things are not right. And what they said one decade proves to be completely inadequate the next decade. But I'll tell you this, when you come to God's word, you have a solid foundation. We're not to go by the counsel of the ungodly. We're not to go by what the TV and the books and the radio talkers and the wise men of this world might say. There are people out there who want to tell you what to do. There are people who want to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And they want to tell you what things you should regard as being right and wrong. And they are not scriptural morals that they're promoting today. We're not to take the counsel of the ungodly. Indeed, you look at modern day psychotherapy, and people would advise you to go to counsellors. But much of the counsellors that are out there today have moral standards and a psychotherapeutic framework that originates in human conceptions and human morality. We're not to take the counsel of the ungodly. Now you have to go to the doctor, and you have to go to the nurse, or go to the financial advisor, maybe the bank manager. And of course we can do that. But I'll tell you this, that if I saw that there was a Christian doctor or a Christian financial advisor, I'd go to those first. It's not that we can't take their advice when they're advising on the technicalities of those things. Of course, we can listen to that. But what we're talking about here is spiritual things. When it comes to spiritual things, do not take the advice of the ungodly. Do not walk according to what they tell you. It's very easy to go out there into the workplace and tell the people your problems, tell them about what's facing you, and they'll come back and they'll tell you this is what you should do and this is what you should not do. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Not only that, but I want you to see that we are not to stand in the way of sinners. Don't stand where sinners stand. Don't stand with them. All are sinners by nature, and they're sinners by practice, and they're lost and undone, and they're blind to eternal realities, and they will stand on certain things, and they have warped thinking. You think of how there are those that stand for abortion. There are those that stand today. This is becoming a very popular movement. There are those, this great campaign that has been waged for euthanasia and for the killing of people who are in pain or whatever it is. And these are immoral movements. And there are stands that are being taken today. We think of the stands that were being taken in by the Marxists in days gone by. No, we don't stand with them. We go by biblical standards. It's our spirit-controlled living. It's our biblical standards. It's our biblical practices. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's way is perfect. So we go by what the Bible has to say. We go by its standards. And again it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you are a child of God, then we should act like that and behave like that. Walk as becometh dear children. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And don't ally yourself with them. Make friends of God's people. Make sure that you're in the company of God's people. We don't stand in the way of sinners. And then something else. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't scorn the things of God or the people of God. Beware of fault-finding and criticizing other Christians. People out there in the world will want to criticize Christians. They want to criticize the church, ridicule the things of God. And if you start taking counsel from the ungodly, and if you start standing then in the way of sinners, it'll not be long until you are in the seat of the scornful. It'll not be long until you become critical of the church. You'll become critical of the minister. You'll become critical of the elders. You'll become critical of those that preach God's word, and you'll be scorning. There's a progression here, and you'll notice there's a downward progression. It is walking, then standing, and then sitting. And there you have really the path of backsliding. Walking, standing, sitting. And you know, backsliding starts when you start with wrong counsel. When you're not taking counsel from God's people, you're very soon sitting in the seat of the scornful. Very soon you become overcritical about the things of God. And things aren't just right. And people aren't just right. And people aren't just treating me the way that they once treated me. And they're being offhand with me. And soon you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Is there someday a little bit like that today? You've let that criticism creep in. Well, I want you to see that this is something that God urges us not to do. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. So we notice here the pronouncements that are made, and we notice the prohibitions enjoined. But then I want you to see the precepts exhorted. There are two do's in verse 2. It says, "And his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now Moses taught that the word of God was conspicuous, it was important, it was absolutely vital in the domestic life and in the personal life of every Hebrew. He said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou risest up, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy doors." That's Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9. And the psalmist here says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Again, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So the word of God is our spiritual food. It is our meat. It is our drink. It is our spiritual nourishment day by day. That is why we need to love the word. We need to read the word. We need to make sure that we take down our Bibles and we feed ourselves day by day on the word of God. And not only should we do it, even in a mechanical way, but we should delight in it. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. Is it our delight? Is the Bible a delight to us? Is it a delight to go along to the services where God's word is preached on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, on the prayer meeting, maybe the young people's fellowship? Is it a delight to find out what God's word says, to get maybe commentaries or periodicals that speak about the scriptures? The Bible talks about the love of the truth. I wonder if you have a love for God's book. Do you really delight in the law of the Lord? Or are you going to miss out on this real prosperity that comes from delighting in the law of the Lord? So we delight in the law of the Lord. But then it says something else. It says, "In his law doth he meditate day and night." Now, to meditate means more than possessing academic knowledge about the Bible. It's more than the approval of orthodoxy. This is a feeding upon the word. It is a digesting, taking it into oneself. It's not just reading it, but it is meditating and taking it in and making it part of ourselves. When I think of the word meditate, you sometimes associate with the word ruminate. You think of the old cow, and the cow goes out into the meadow and it browses on the grass, and it eats the grass, and it eats and eats and eats and more grass, and then it will sit down and it will ruminate. It will chew over the grass. It will chew it and chew it and chew it again until it gets every bit of goodness out of that grass that it can possibly take out of it. And it is completely digested. And that's what we do. We watch the old cow ruminating over the grass. That's something like what we need to do with God's word. We can go to church, we can go to a Bible conference, we can hear the word of God expounded, we can read the scriptures day by day, but do we take time to think about it, to consider it, to think it over, to ruminate upon some precious truth that we have received? Is there something that you have been considering today or in the past days, some little gem of truth that you've come across in God's word, has been precious to you, and you've been thinking about it, and as you thought about it, you've really got the goodness out of that. You have really digested it. Is it the subject of our conversation? Are the things of God, the things that we speak about at the dining table or among our friends, do we debate over the scriptures and ask what the scriptures say? We are to delight in God's word, and to meditate on God's word. And if we're not doing that, we become puny. We become weak. We're not as strong as we ought to be because we're not taking in the goodness that we should from God's precious word. There are a lot of weakling Christians in this day and generation, and I suggest that the reason is that we are not taking in the word of God the way that we should. So there is a precept enjoined. Delight in the law of God and meditate therein. And he says day and night. That's something constant. Day and night. That's something that we never get away from. Is it our practice day and night to be considering the word of God? So we notice in this portion of scripture there's a pronouncement made. We notice the prohibitions enjoined and then the precept exhorted. But then I want you to see something else. Notice the prosperity experienced. It says, but in his law doth he meditate day and night. And if you look at verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if you follow the root of the three do's, or the three don'ts and the two do's, there is a promise. It'll make a difference to you. It says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A planted tree is a tree that has been deliberately put there. You know, you get two types of trees out there around us. You have the trees that have just grown there. The seed has fallen in the wild and the tree has just grown where the seed has fallen. And then there are other trees and they're planted there. And when you get a tree that is planted, it is there for a purpose. It's either there as a decoration or it is there for lumber or it is there for to beautify the atmosphere or beautify the scenery. Or some reason it's there either to make money or to be beautiful or something like that. It's a planted tree. I want you to see that this is a planted tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why is he planted? Why is he deliberately put there? Well, he's by the rivers of water. And the river is a place where you can draw from the resources and constantly draw from that which feeds you. And that's what God has done here. He has planted us in a place where we can constantly draw from the blessings that he has provided. In New York, in the United States, there was a family. And this lady had a number of large elms growing in her garden. And there was one lovely large elm tree, a very large one. It was 150 or 200 feet high. And it was just planted by the riverbank. And she said, my father planted that tree there when it was a sapling many years ago. And she said that it was there to sort of stabilize the bank so that the river wouldn't wash the bank away. and it was there to stabilize it. And that's why this elm was planted there. But she said that throughout all the years that it was planted there, there had been many times of drought. And there had been many times when the other trees had been parched. And their growth had been stunted because they'd been parched. But she said that tree never wanted because it was planted by the river. It was always fed. And isn't that what God has done for us? He wants us to be in the place where we're constantly fed. Where we're constantly blessed. Where there is constant moisture. That moisture will speak of the blessings of God. And we're there by divine appointment. That's what God wants for his people. To plant them by the rivers of water. And notice that the provision is assured here. It speaks of rivers of water. Not just one river, not just a ditch that has been dug or an irrigation channel that has been cut out of the field, but it is rivers of water. The rain never fails. The waters will never fail. It's not a canal that has been dug out and might fall in again, but it is the rivers. God supplies his people abundantly. They are by the rivers of water. Not only is the provision assured, but look at how there is patience required. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now he has rivers, but the fruit comes in its season. And of course you need patience then to wait for the fruit. You know, James instructs us, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now God plants us by the rivers of water that constantly supply us. But you know there is that patience that we need to wait for the real fruit of blessing that he wants to give us. Adults know that there's a planting time, and then there's a growing time, and then there's a reaping time. It says that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The thing that we need to do is be patient for the season of the real blessing. God wants to bestow mighty blessings upon his people, but they are in his season. Not in our season. Not when we would expect it. Not when we just want it, but in his season. But then notice the permanence of the fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. And when the fruit comes, it is permanent. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will rot last. What is permanent fruit? It's fruit that's laid up in heaven, where moth or rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. You've heard the story, all of you, about the man that had died, and somebody asked what he had left. And the true reply was, he left everything. Well, thank God, the child of God does not have to leave everything. We can bring something with us. Will you bring your children with you? Will you bring your friends with you? Will you bring your loved ones and your neighbors with you? You can bring them with you. His leaf also shall not wither. You think of the man who was a farmer in the Gospels, and he thought that he had everything that this world could provide. He had a great bumper harvest, and he had such a harvest that he had to build new barns to store the harvest that he had been given. And he said to himself, I will eat and drink and be merry. But you know, the Lord came and said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. You know, he had so much of this world's goods and so much of what this world would call success. But in the end, he hadn't anything. I wonder what you have. Have you the Lord? Have you his blessing in your life? Look at the last phrase in verse 3. whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's a promise from the God that cannot not lie. He doesn't state he'll be a millionaire. Doesn't say that he'll retire at 60. It doesn't say that he'll not encounter difficulties and he will have setbacks. It doesn't say that he'll be exempt from trouble. But it does say whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He will have success. He will have satisfaction. He will have usefulness. And that's a statement not only for ministers or for missionaries or for preachers. It's for all vocations of life. Traveling the road of the three don'ts and the two do's, you will have prosperity, biblical prosperity. Not in the sense of this world, but the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. That's the blessing. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Have you godly prosperity in your life? Have you the real riches that God gives? The riches of closeness and walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we know that blessing and may we know that prosperity. And if you're not saved today, you come and find the one who is able to give you real blessing and real prosperity in your life. Let's just bow, please.